Welcome to the Hope Community Sunday Podcast for the weekend of August 17, week 7 in our focus, Stranger Things in Scripture. I'm Dan Nygaard. There was perhaps no stranger command given by God than the command God gave to the prophet Hosea. Hosea chapter 1, verses 2 and 3 reads as follows. When the Lord began to speak through Hosea, the Lord said to him, "Go, marry a promiscuous woman, and have children with her, for like an adulterous wife, this land is guilty of unfaithfulness to the Lord." So he married Gomer, daughter of Diblaim, and she conceived and bore him a son. There may be no stranger command from God than the command he gave to his prophet Hosea to go and marry a promiscuous woman. Throughout the centuries, many scholars of Scripture have interpreted this as a parable. Both Jewish scholars and Christian scholars cannot accept the possibility that God would command someone to marry a promiscuous woman. Yet that is precisely what Hosea claims. And the literal view that God actually commanded Hosea to marry a promiscuous woman, and that he in fact married a promiscuous woman, the literal view better suits the prophetic reading of this book than that this is just a story, just a literary device. And of course, we must ask, what exactly does the scripture mean by a promiscuous woman? Many Bible teachers claim that this means a prostitute, that the prophet Hosea was commanded to marry a prostitute. However, in all of Scripture, prostitute is mentioned only once, and it's in the commands in the book of Exodus. Fathers are commanded not to prostitute their daughters. The fact that only once the Hebrew word for prostitute is used in the Old Testament suggests that prostitute has a precise meaning. In the Old Testament, a prostitute is someone who engages in sexual activity for the financial benefit of a third person. In the language of the street, in the Old Testament, a prostitute is someone who has a pimp. Far more common in the Old Testament is the Hebrew word for harlot. The Hebrew word for harlot is used quite broadly, and it references someone who is not faithful either to their marriage vows or faithful to their chastity and virginity. So when God commands Hosea to marry a promiscuous woman, he is commanded to marry a woman that the local community, the local village, acknowledges and identifies as a woman who is likely to be unfaithful. In the 20th century, such girls were called party girls or pinup girl. They were the popular girls. So God's prophet Hosea marries a party girl whose name is Gomer. And apparently, to begin with, the sex is good. The book of Hosea recounts how they have three children, one after the other. And the fact that Hosea names the children is evidence that he identifies them as his own children. She was not, at that time, sexually active outside of the marriage. God gives Hosea the names for all three of these children. The first child, a son, is to be named Jezreel. Jezreel would in the near future become quite a famous location because it would be in Jezreel that a future king of Israel and all of his sons and all of his associates would be slaughtered. 2 Kings chapter 10 reads, "These men took the princes, that is, the sons of the king, and slaughtered all 70 of them. So Jehu killed everyone in Jezreel who remained of the house of Ahab, as well as all of Ahab's chief men, his close friends, and his priests." God commanded Hosea to name his second born a daughter. He is to name her Not Loved. Reading this in verse 6 of Hosea chapter 1, I could not help but think of the Johnny Cash song, A Boy Named Sue. Can you imagine a worse name for a young girl than to name her Not Loved? But there is a prophetic rationale for naming this girl Not Loved, because God says, "I will no longer show love to Israel, that I should at all forgive them." Then God commands Hosea to name his third child and second son, Not My People. Verse 9, "The Lord said, call him Lo Ami, which means not my people, for you, Israel, are not my people, and I am not your God." After giving birth to her third child, apparently Gomer tires of domestic life and goes out looking for some nightlife, some more exciting life. Hosea recounts how she finds it, at least for a while, but soon her lovers tire of her. And without her sugar daddies, somehow she soon winds up in an enslaved position. We can't say exactly what it is. It wasn't debtor's prison. All we can say for sure is that God commands Hosea to go and buy his wife back, apparently buy her out of slavery. Hosea chapter 3, verse 2, "So I," that is Hosea, "bought her," that is Gomer, "for 15 shekels, that's 6 ounces of silver, about $230 by the current price, plus about a homer and a lethek of barley." That's about 430 pounds of barley. Today, that's only about $26 worth. But the point is, the prophet Hosea had to buy his own wife back, had to pay good money to get her out of the predicament she had got herself into. This is perhaps the strangest command in all of the scriptures. The God of the Bible, the I Am, Yahweh, commanding his prophet Hosea to marry a promiscuous woman, and then to go buy her back, redeem her from slavery. Why did God command his prophet to marry a promiscuous woman? What a strange command. If you have your Bible or your smartphone, turn with me to the book of Hosea. That's right after the book of Daniel in your Old Testament. Hosea chapter 2, verse 19 through 23. The prophet Hosea, speaking for the Lord, says, "I will betroth you to me forever. I will betroth you in righteousness and justice, in love and compassion. I will betroth you in faithfulness, and you will acknowledge the Lord. In that day I will respond, declares the Lord. I will respond to the skies, and they will respond to the earth, and the earth will respond to the grain, and the new wine, and the olive oil, and they will respond to Jezreel. I will plant her for myself in the land. I will show my love to the one I called not my loved one. I will say to those called not my people, you are my people, and they will say to me, you are my God." Heavenly Father, in these last few minutes, my prayer, our prayer, is that Jesus might be exalted. Why did God command his prophet to marry a promiscuous woman? To provide a picture, a depiction of God's scandalous love for us. Hosea chapters 1 through 3 record his marriage to a promiscuous woman named Gomer. in chapters 1 through 3, Gomer's adulterous lovers symbolize the northern tribes of Israel, their incorporation of the worship of Baal with their worship of Yahweh, just as Gomer added lovers to her husband. The northern tribes of Israel added Baal worship to their worship of the God of the Bible. The rest of the book of Hosea, chapters 4 through 14, summarize the prophet's message to the northern tribes. Unlike most Old Testament prophetic books, Hosea is not a collection of his separate addresses to the people. Instead, chapters 4 through 14 is a summary of the leading thoughts contained in the prophet's proclamation to the people of the northern tribes of Israel. Hosea is often identified as the prophet of love. He is over 30 times referenced in the Gospels and by the apostles. Hosea repeatedly uses a Hebrew term, hesed. It's a term that expresses Yahweh's love for Israel. Hesed means steadfast, mercy, loving kindness. Hesed is the idea of covenant love of a husband and a wife, and it applies that type of covenant love as the relationship between God and God's people. Yahweh offers the people of Israel his loving kindness, and that is what Yahweh wants from his people. God is not satisfied with simple religious observance because God does not intend to leave us as we are. God's desire is to elevate people via relationship with him. He wants to elevate us above the material via our connection with him because of his presence with us. And Hosea's marriage to a promiscuous woman reveals attributes about God's love for humanity. In Hosea, sin is identified as spiritual infidelity, spiritual unfaithfulness. The big idea of the book of Hosea is that God's love for his people is a kind of scandalous love. Humans are unfaithful to God, yet God remains faithful in his love for humanity. The Old Testament prophetic book Hosea has a particular message to the northern tribes of Israel. Recall that after Solomon's death, the empire of Israel divided into north and south. The southern tribes were ruled by the descendants of David and Solomon. Those tribes were collectively known as the nation of Judah. The northern tribes were ruled by an administrator in Solomon's empire, a man named Jeroboam, and those tribes collectively became known as the nation of Israel. Many of the people who were part of the northern tribes migrated, relocated to the south once the northern nation of Israel adopted a false religion. Soon, the people of that northern nation called Israel incorporated into their worship of Yahweh animistic worship of the local gods, oftentimes called Baals or Baals. There was a local god of this mountain, a local god of that valley, and a local god of this stream or river. Just as the people of Israel had added worship of Baal to their worship of Yahweh, Hosea's promiscuous wife added to her marriage lovers from outside her marriage. She, just as she engaged in adulterous sexual activity, the people of the northern nation of Israel engaged in adulterous spiritual activity. Back to chapter 1 of Hosea, verses 8 and 9, Gomer, that is, the wife, the promiscuous wife of Hosea, had another son. Then the Lord said to Hosea, call him Lo-Ammi, which means not my people. For you, that is Israel, are not my people, and I am not your God. Just as Gomer rejected the prophet Hosea as her one and only lover, the people of Israel rejected God as their one and only God. And the God of the Bible, Yahweh, acknowledges having been rejected by the northern nation of Israel. Therefore, Yahweh abandons that northern nation to their doom. And history records that that northern nation of Israel would be utterly destroyed by the Assyrian Empire. They would be dispersed. They would be lost for all time. They would be known as the lost tribes of Israel. Hosea's message to the nation of Israel is an acknowledgement that God is not their God, and the warning that they are no longer under the protection of Yahweh. Yet Hosea has a promise. It's an amazing promise. Hosea foresees Israelites beyond count. Hosea chapter 1 verse 10, yet the Israelites will be like the sand of the seashore, which cannot be measured or counted. In the place where it was said to them, you are not my people, they will be called the children of the living God. Be aware that in Hosea there are two Israels. There are the northern tribes, the political entity of Israel, and there are the people of God, the spiritual entity of Israel. The prophet Hosea announces that while the political entity of the northern nation of Israel will be utterly destroyed, the people of God will be too many to count. This is why Hosea is so often quoted in the New Testament, because for the New Testament writers, the church is Israel too. Romans chapter 11, the Apostle Paul writes that believers in Jesus Christ have been grafted in to the people of Israel. Throughout the New Testament, believers in Jesus, followers in Jesus Christ, are Israel. The New Bible Dictionary puts it this way. Throughout the New Testament, the community of believers in Jesus, irrespective of their genetics or their social class, is looked upon as the new Israel. In the New Testament, followers and believers in Jesus are the people of Israel. Rejectors of Jesus Christ are not Israel. Hosea leaves us with a great hope. That is that God has a scandalous love for us, a love that will not let us go. Hosea chapter 3, verse 5. Afterward, the Israelites will return and seek the Lord their God and David their king. They will come trembling to the Lord and to his blessings in the last days. Note this, false prophets focus on material prosperity. In contrast, the scriptures focus upon loving kindness. Hosea depicts for us, Hosea paints us a graphic, scandalous, strange picture of the human condition. Humans are like promiscuous Gomer, unfaithful to their husband, unfaithful to God. The tragedy of unfaithfulness towards God is that it makes space for unfaithfulness towards one another. A culture that is unfaithful towards God makes excuses for sexual adultery. A culture that is unfaithful towards God comes to accept societal decay. The Old Testament prophetic book of Hosea depicts humanity as promiscuous and unfaithful. The Old Testament prophetic book of Hosea says, in spite of our unfaithfulness, God remains faithful. He has a scandalous love for humanity. The Old Testament prophetic book of Hosea presents humans as spiritual harlots whom God refuses to abandon, whom God has paid a ransom for via Jesus Christ at the cross. The Old Testament prophetic book of Hosea challenges you and I to seek the Lord. Chapter 10, verse 12. Sow righteousness for yourselves. Reap the fruit of unfailing love. Break up your unplowed ground, for it is time to seek the Lord until he comes and showers his righteousness on you. In the Middle East, unplowed ground is ground that is hard and sun-baked. When the rains come, which are infrequent, when the rains come, the water just rolls off. Hosea challenges people to break up our ground so that we can receive from God all the blessings he has for us. Hosea challenges you and me to seek the Lord, to come to the Lord trembling. Don't come to the Lord pridefully. Don't come to the Lord with the idea that I'm okay. Come to the Lord with the acknowledgement that I'm not okay, that I resemble nothing so much as a spiritual harlot. But come to the Lord in the full knowledge of his scandalous love, the price he has paid to ransom us, to redeem us, to restore us to a right relationship. Yes, come to the Lord in trembling and receive undeserved blessing from your heavenly Father. Hosea tells the story of God's scandalous love for people who deserve only condemnation. That's you and me. Yet God so loves you so deeply, so scandalously, that he paid the price to ransom you at the cross of Jesus Christ. God's love for you and for me is scandalous. It's deep, and it will not let us go.